preached again. This particular verse of Scripture, though, I honestly don't know if I've ever used it per se. But when we were talking about faith on Sunday night, I didn't really get finished with it. I really didn't get it to where I wanted it to go, and I wanted to come back to it again this evening. And I want you to hear this in the beginning, because it's going to set the stage, if you will, for the rest of what we're going to do here tonight. I know it's Wednesday night. I know I could just skate through this thing and get it done. Go get me an ice cream at Dario and go to the house. But there's more to it than that. There's a lot more to it than that. I believe with everything within me, God laid this message on my heart. Not just because I needed something to preach tonight. But I believe possibly there's individuals that'll hear this. There's individuals that potentially or possibly could be here this evening. And your very soul is struggling and you're in a balance. And you're trying to find out which way to go. And if that's you tonight, God sent me by here long enough just to tell you the victory has already been won. All we've got to do is do what God's Word has told us that we've got to already, but do we believe God's Word? And see, that's where we struggle today. That's where I've struggled in my own life at times. You say, well, you're the preacher. Well, there's nothing in God's Word that don't tell me that sometimes I won't struggle too, just because I'm the preacher. Matter of fact, on the contrary, because the Bible says that we're not to consider it strange that the fiery darts that are to try us. There's not a person in this room at some point in your life have not been as Paul was in his life. When Paul, and just give you a really paraphrase of this, when Paul, in part of the prime of his life, no doubt, God brought him up into the third heavens. And then Paul, when he came back down the earth, if you will, that there was a messenger of Satan that was allowed to come at Paul. Now, Brother Steve and I have talked about this. I'm not doing this message because I've talked to Brother Steve. I'm doing this message because I believe that what the Bible says we need to get a hold of. But there was a messenger of Satan that came and tormented Paul, my opinion, day and night, 24/7, 365. Everywhere that Paul turned, I believe that Paul ran into that messenger of Satan. The Bible calls it a thorn in the flesh. It was something that was about his flesh. Some say that Paul might have been humpback. I don't know. Some people said that he was bow-legged. I don't know. Some said it was his eyesight in the flesh. Whatever it was a constant thing for him to have to deal with. I don't think it was a bum leg, a bum knee, like we sometimes have the pains that we have in our legs and our knees, like I've been going through. That is simple stuff. But I think that whatever it was, Paul addressed God several times to try to rid himself of this thorn. But yet in the same sense, the Bible reminds us of how that Paul said, God, would you remove it? He went several times, three times. What did God tell him? He said that my grace is sufficient. I want you to stretch your hand this way, even before I read this text, and pray for me. Father, I don't come here tonight, God, to see or to be seen. I don't come tonight, God, to do anything but to preach your word, to tell the devil that he's already defeated. And Father, I thank you, God, that when we come into your house, that God, that we learn and we study and we hear the Word of God. I pray, God, tonight that you would illuminate my mind. That, God, that you would allow me to be able to see the very things that you want me to see. Father, we love you, we honor you, and we thank you, God. Lord, allow the anointing to come. It's a breaker's anointing. Father, we've studied that in the days gone by, a breaker's anointing. God, to break the chains that bind, to break the bondage. Father, I pray, God, that you would touch us, and God, that you would help us and break every chain of bondage over every home and every family, every life here this evening. God, liberate your people here tonight. God, liberate this preacher. God, open up the eyes of our understanding that, God, that we would go forth and do the very thing that you would have us to do, God, in Jesus' name. We beg of you and we ask you faithfully, Lord, in Christ's name, amen and amen and amen. Thank you for your prayers. When Paul got to that place, God told him that he's already got it taken care of. And by that, I mean this. God said to Paul, he said, Paul, I've got it. My grace is plenty enough for you to make it. My grace is sufficient. Paul learned spiritual warfare through the experiences that he went through. If you and I never, well, as I've heard it said so many times, if we never had a problem, we would never know that he could solve them. Amen. Sometimes we have to understand some of the things that I'm going to mention to you tonight. That it comes through our faithfulness to God, because God is faithful. And as we be faithful to God, we see the faithfulness of God. That was good, wasn't it? As we be faithful to God, we see God's faithfulness. I talked about this on Sunday for just a minute, where the Bible says, for we do not walk by sight, but we walk by faith. Here's what I'm learning again, and this is what God is saying to the church again, that you and I need to learn once again to trust God completely. And it is all going to be by this one thing we talk about, and it's faith. Not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith God. When we read this text this evening, on the topic this evening, if you look at this, on the fight of faith. I think that's what I told Kathy upstairs or something similar to that. Fight the good fight. I want you to get that in your mind this evening. Fight the good fight. If you'll get this in the beginning, it's going to help you at the end. I promise you. And we look at this, if you get a hold of it. When we look at this in the scripture in 1 Timothy chapter number 6, he says, but thou, O man of God, flee these things and follow after righteousness, goodness, faith, love, patience, meekness. O man of God, flee these things. He talked about that in the earlier part of this chapter. When you look at railing and evil and surmising. And then he talks about strife with words, perverse disputes. These things that corrupt our mind and these things that dispute the truth and these things that lead to godlessness. Paul is writing this to this young man by the name of Timothy. And what Paul was telling Timothy is simply this in a nutshell. Do not allow your life to be tangled up in these things that actually are not beneficial to your spiritual well-being. And Paul was reminding Timothy of this. He said, so I'm reminding you, when you look in this text in verse number 11, he says, O man of God, flee these things. Listen, you and I'm talking to the preacher tonight too. If you and I plan to win the race, if you and I plan to finish the race, as I mentioned on Sunday evening, I believe it was, that there are some things that you and I must predetermine in our mind that we will not entertain. There are things that are not going to be named among us. and there's things that we are not going to put our nose into, and there's things that we're not going to get tangled up into. I'll tell you a real fast story, as fast as I can tell it. Years ago, when I was in Monroe, there was a little man that Sherry and I took care of. And we took care of him, and we brought him to church and took him to church, and he died. There was a church over on the other side of town, a Church of God. They were going to take this little man, bury him in his casket in the ground, not put him in a vault or anything like that, which the cemetery required. I knew the pastor over there, and I was doing the funeral. I said, "Hey, man, look, they're just going to put the casket in the ground over there." He said, "They're not in that cemetery. That's a church cemetery. We've got to have that or it'll sink and it'll fall in. We can't allow that." I said, "Well, that's what they plan on doing." From that moment, that family called me. I'd done the funeral. They did not speak to me at the funeral hardly at all. And the girl that was in charge of it came back and said, "You costed me $900 for opening your mouth and running your mouth." I said, "Ma'am, I believe in doing what is right." Well, she was the beneficiary on his life insurance policy and didn't want to spend the money on him. He was dead. That's the whole thing. I called the funeral home. And the funeral home says, "Well, don't worry about it, Pastor. We've got a vault that we're going to donate, a concrete vault. We're going to donate it. It's not going to cost them anything." I told the girl later, I said, "Ma'am, I wasn't trying to stick my nose into your business. I just knew that that was the rules at that cemetery. I wanted to do the right thing." Well, from that, Sherry and I, all the rest of our ministry from that day, it's something that we've done to each other. We look at each other when it's really none of our business, and we look at it, we say, "That's a vault thing. That's a vault thing," because me as a pastor, if I'm not real careful, I can get tangled up and twisted up into a web of something that ain't got nothing to do with my life or my business. The reason I said that, if you and I are not very, very careful in the day and the hour that we're living in, the enemy of our soul will keep us so fixed up in other people's stuff and all kinds of stuff that we'll really miss out on what God's calling us to do. This scripture here teaches you and I what we're supposed to do. First of all, he's addressing the people of God. Paul is addressing Timothy. So Paul is telling Timothy directly to his face. He said, "Man of God, flee these things." He said, "Flee these things in your life, in my life. If you and I plan on having the victory," and when I'm up here preaching, I'm not pointing at you to be pointing in your face. I don't mean that. It's just my hand gestures, and I got a bad problem with that, and I could stand up here like this, and then I'd move my elbows. You don't want to see that. So I don't mean to be pointing at you if you misunderstand that. I'm sorry. But here's the thing. When he says here in the Word, he says, "Oh, man of God, flee these things." So here's the thing. If we're going to get the victory, if we're going to fight this fight, if we're going to win this thing, we, my friend, have got to be faithful to God in these things. He says, in this, follow after righteousness. What does that mean? To do those things that are right before God. Then he says, godliness, faith, love, patience, and meekness. I've read those scriptures. I've read those things in the past over in Galatians chapter number 5. In Galatians 5, it mentions the fruit of the Spirit. And when we're Spirit-filled and when we're born again, when we have the nature and the characteristic of God, these are the things that are a part of our life. Come on, somebody. These are the things that's a part of our life. When we look at the scripture, so Paul was telling Timothy, when you look at this, look at a little bit further down. Verse number 12, this is where I really want to try to drive this point home this evening right here. So verse number 12, when he opens it up, he says this in the Word. He says, "Fight the good fight of faith, lay hold on eternal life, whereunto thou art also called and hast professed a good profession before many witnesses." Verse 13 and following. He said, "I give thee charge in the sight of God, who quickeneth all things, before Christ Jesus, who before Pontius Pilate witnessed a good confession," look in 14, "that thou wilt keep this commandment without spot, unrebukable, until the appearing of our Lord Jesus Christ." That's all I'm going to read right there. So what was Paul telling Timothy? What was Paul really trying to drive home? Paul was trying to do this one thing, and it's the one thing I really want to point out this evening to you and to I and to us. Ever since Sunday night, this has been on my heart. Ever since Sunday night, this has been drilled in my spirit. Ever since Sunday night, this is what I've been thinking about. It's verse number 12, because he opens up in verse number 12, and he teaches us. Now, unless I'm mistaken, now here, I'm not a Bible scholar. I'm not I'm not a theologian. I'm not this or I'm not that. I am a preacher and a pastor, and I try to do the best thing with what I got. Unless I'm mistaken, and some of you that know the scripture a whole lot more than me, this is the only place, as far as I know, that teaches you and I to fight, as far as I can remember and as far as I can look at right now. What is it telling us to do? It is telling us to fight the good fight of our faith. You, my friend, sometimes we've got to fight for what we believe in. We've got to fight for our faith. When you look at this, Paul, again, he talks about this. And he teaches us in this, the spiritual warfare is a real thing in Ephesians 6. When you look at Ephesians 6, and it opens up, and I think it's verse 10. I didn't write it down, but I think it's verse number 10. We look at this, and we see what Paul was actually writing. When Paul wrote this in the book of Ephesians, he says, "Finally, my brethren, be strong in the Lord." First of all, when I think about being faithful to God and fighting the good fight, what is he saying? First of all, in this scripture, he teaches me, you're going to fight the fight of faith, but the way that you're going to do that is being strong in the Lord. You're going to be strong in the Lord. There's a lot of things that I could put in there, but the power of God, if I went back in Psalms and I read the book of Psalms and I pulled a lot of scripture out of the book of Psalms, there would be scriptures that would say that God is my refuge and God is my strength. On the day of Pentecost, they were there that day, and the Bible said when they were gathered together that they were endued with power from on high. You and I will never be able to fight the good fight of faith until we be filled with the power and the anointing of the Holy Ghost. And if we needed it 25 years ago or 30 years ago or 2,000 years ago in the upper room, the way that you and I are going to be able to stand and fight this good fight of faith is simply by being filled with the power of the Holy Ghost. You shall receive power, dunamis, energia. After that, the Holy Ghost is come upon you. It's a sad thing to fight the devil today in your own strength without the power of the Spirit of God dwelling within us. He says in the scripture, again, Ephesians 6 and 10, he said to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might, his strength. Look at these next verses. We look at them very quickly. In verse 11, he says, put on the whole armor of God. Put on the armor of God that you might be able to stand against the wiles of the devil. We think about these verses of scripture, and again, I could spend the rest of the time in these verses of scripture, and I'm not going to expound on every one of them, but when Paul was writing this, that we're going to be able to stand, put on the armor of God, that we can be able to fight the good fight of faith. Young people, teenagers, children, Dina Kennedy has taught the young people in the Sunday school class about putting on the armor of God. Don't get mad at the preacher, but how many of us go to battle and we're unarmed? We go into battle today with a little dabble do you, and we think that the devil's going to jump behind the door when we say boo, and he's going to say who, and you're going to say me, and he's going to say I don't know you. And I look at this and I think about how today that we're engaged in a warfare. We are engaged in a battle, and you think, well, preacher, I've heard that message 45 times. You're going to hear it again tonight. But the only way that you and I can fight this battle of faith is by doing it the way that God said to do it. We can't do it in our own strength. We cannot do that. Paul gives us a scripture here that teaches us that you've got to be able to stand against the trickery of the devil, and how that the devil's going to come and he's going to try to attack the church. He's going to try to attack you and he's going to try to destroy you. Now, some of you are not in warfare. Some of you don't know what warfare is because it's just a fantasy and the preacher just talks about it. Oh no, my friend, it's a real battle in some people's life. It's a real deal. Somebody says, I don't never fight the devil. The reason you don't fight him is he may already have you. I'm not saying that, but anybody I've ever known that really makes a difference or wants to make a difference in spirituality is going to be fought of the devil. He's going to fight you. The devil will not give up. Even with Jesus, he left him for a season, but my friend, he come back. How are we going to fight this good fight of faith? Paul told Timothy, fight for your faith. How are we going to be able to stand against the wiles of the devil? Fortunately, we have the Bible. Fortunately, we can read the Bible. And fortunately, God tells us how to fight our opponent. Look at this in verse number 12. And I'm going to have to really just turn there really quick and kind of glance down every now and then and kind of let Kathy help us along as well. But I have to kind of look down every now and then and get my bearings. So let me just turn there real fast. We see this again in verse number 12 where the Bible reminds us we wrestle not against flesh and blood. We don't. And I'm not going to break these down. I've got it right in front of me. But I'm not going to break it down tonight. But I do have it in front of me. But I've got other things I'm going to try to get to. We wrestle not against flesh and blood. My battle's not with you. Hello. Your battle's not with your neighbor. Well, I don't like my neighbor. Well, pray about it. But your battle's not with your neighbor. Watch, it's the spirit behind it. Somebody said to me one time, oh, there you go with all that spirit stuff again. You better believe it. You better know it. You better know it because the Bible says that we are in a warfare. And then we look at this and it says we wrestle not against flesh and blood. But he teaches us, but against principalities, real fast. Principalities, again, is the unseen world order, if you will, that we look at. The principalities, if you look at this, it's the highest rank of chief rulers in the devil's arsenal, if you will. And again, I'm not going to take the time against all of this, but it's against powers, against rulers of darkness of this world, against spiritual wickedness in high places. Wherefore, take unto you the whole armor of God. The whole armor of God, that you might be able to withstand in that evil day. To be able to stand in that evil day. And having done all to stand, verse 14 says, stand. How are we going to be able to do this? How are we going to be able to the fight of faith, if you will? Where again, Paul was telling Timothy these very words, fight the good fight of faith. God's already given it to us. Now, here's something that again, if I had 3 or 4 hours to go through this, you could talk about it. And this is what I want you to see, that this is a spiritual thing. If God tells you and I, you say, well, how do I do that? To put on the whole armor of God. We dress ourselves for battle. We dress ourselves for what lies ahead of us in spiritual warfare. He tells us, he says in the scripture, he says when you begin to look at this, he says, wherefore take unto you the whole armor of God that you might be able to stand. Having done all to stand, verse 14, stand therefore, having your loins girt with truth, put on the loin of truth. Put on that loin, if you will, like a loincloth, if you will. In other words, what does that mean? The only way I can explain that is Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Thy word is truth. Don't go to the devil with your opinion. Don't go to the devil with some hocus pocus, something that you heard somewhere on TV. You've got to say, if this is the written word of God. Now, here's the thing that's going to stretch our faith. It's stretching my faith, and I'm determined that I'm going to do what I know in my mind, and I'm going to do in my heart what I know that works and what God tells us will work. And it's not what I sense or what I feel or even what I know. It's what I know that God's Word says. And God's Word says, when you look at this, He says that you've got to put on this loin about with truth. Now watch this. We may not see the fruit of that today. We may not see the results of that today, but he says that you got to put on truth. Thy word is truth. Thy word is forever settled in heaven. What do you mean, Pastor? I'm simply saying this. If I'm going to be fully furnished with all good works, if you will, and fight the good fight of faith, I can't fight it with nothing else except what God's word says. And God says we've got to fight the devil with truth. Amen? You've got to fight him with thus what saith the Lord? I love this. He says, and put on that the breastplate of righteousness. In my understanding of the breastplate was there to protect the vital organs of the body, if you will. Primarily, the breastplate protected your heart. Whatever you do in life, you've got to protect your heart, because out of your heart comes all the issues of life. And everything you are, everything you think, everything that you participate in will come forth out of your heart. He said that you've got to protect your heart with what? With righteousness. What is righteousness? That is right before God. My friend, this is what God is saying. This is how we're going to fight the good fight of faith. Are y'all awake? And he says, as you move forward into verse number 15, I'm not even out of my introduction yet. And he said, and your feet. Wow, that's interesting. Thy word is a lamp unto my feet and a light unto my pathway. Throughout the Psalms in different places, he says that the steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord. You got to every now and then look down and see your feet. Where's your feet taking you? What is your feet doing? The Bible says how precious are the feet of those that carry the good news. I don't have all them scriptures written down, but every one of them's in the scripture. In other words, wherever you're going, whatever you're doing, if you're going to win this thing called the fight of faith, I'll be honest with you. There's some places I don't want to go, first of all, but there's some places that I would not go even if I were permitted to go. I'll be honest with you. It was until recent years when you couldn't even go to a restaurant and eat. Sherry and I, we've turned down many times seats in restaurants because the only seats that were open were in the bar area. And I've told them many times, we're not going to go in there. I'm sorry. If you just find us, it'll be 15 more minutes. Well, I'll wait 15 more minutes. Because I'm not going to let my good be evil spoken of. I'll tell you a lie of the devil. Can I tell you a lie of the devil tonight? Thank you for letting me. Sherry and I was in either Indianapolis or St. Louis at the General Assembly. Okay? A lady took us to the airport to go to the General Assembly. This lady calls my cell phone and said, Pastor, where are you at? I said, I'm at the corner of whatever street. And said, really? I said, yeah, right here. I'm in Indianapolis or St. Louis. I don't remember. I said, I'm at the corner of whatever this was. We just got through eating at a restaurant with a bunch of other guys and stuff. And this lady said to me on the phone, well, that's interesting because somebody just saw you go through the parking lot at Walmart at Indian Trail with another woman in your car that wasn't your wife. I said, well, the devil is a liar. I said, you took me to the airport. You took Sherry and me to the airport. I said, how can that be? And then I verified where I'm telling you what. That is how quick, how stupid, excuse me for saying that, no kids in here, how stupid people can be to try to mess your life up. You say, well, you need to go on and quit meddling, preacher. No. That's how the enemy wants to mess up my feet. He wants to mess up your feet. You got to have your feet on. You got to have it in truth. You say, years ago, they came out, a lot of men's ministry and a lot of men's things I was listening to and going to, said a man needs an accountability partner. He's got to have another man that he can tell everybody to. I'm going to tell you something, friend. That kindly boogered me up for a little bit. I said, there's a lot of men that don't need to know my business because they're going to go tell it to other men. I said, if I'm going to have an accountability partner, it's going to be my wife. And I've always made my wife my accountability partner. If I don't have no secrets, I don't have to, if I tell a lie, I don't have to remember the next time I tell it if I told it the way I told it the first time. Are we okay? I mean, I'm just being me tonight, and if this is offensive, I'm sorry. I'm not trying to offend nobody. I'm trying to help you to understand that we've got to understand that we are in spiritual warfare. But at the end of this message, about 10:30 tonight, 10:15, we're really going to get a hold of this. Just kidding. Because I want you to get this. Yes. Where are we at? 15? Let me read this really fast. Let me say this and move on. Yes, we are in spiritual warfare. We're always going to be involved in this thing. Above all, taking the shield of faith. The shield of faith. Don't forget about your faith. Oh, man of God, as we read that in the text this evening to us, when we see that, when again, Paul was telling us that, but thou, he says, thou, O man of God, flee these things. And then he says in verse 12, in our text again, he says, fight the good fight of faith. We sometimes do all these other things. Watch this. This is me. But we lay our faith down. And we're only going to be able to fight the enemy with faith. We're only going to be able to fight the enemy with what we know to be truth about God. Because the truth is what? Going to set you free. We struggle. We struggle in church today. Our young people struggle, and so many people struggle, watch this, to keep the victory. But I need to tell you, I'm way ahead of myself right here. The Bible again teaches us, and you look in this text that I read to you, and he says, fight the good fight of faith. And I want to drop a little bomb right here for a minute, because I got a lot of preaching to do between now and 10:15. The battle is not your battle to fight. Okay? The victory, your victory, my victory, has already been fought for. Our victory's already been battled for. It was battled at the cross. It was battled by Christ Jesus himself. Because I'm getting way ahead of myself. The only fight that you and I have to fight today is the fight of faith. We got to hold on to our faith. As Dalma said, different people teach me different verses, and she taught me the one out of Romans. You don't need to turn there. Romans 12 and 3, that latter part, that it's been given to every man the measure of faith. I mentioned it on Sunday. Either your faith is going to lead you to doubt, not to believe God, or your faith is going to lead you to believe God. I choose to believe God. We've got to get back in the church. Hear me. That we read God's word and we believe God's word and we trust God's word and we plant our feet on God's word. You say, well, preacher, I'm going through all kinds of obstacles and it seems like that all of hell is coming against me. Here's the thing. Be faithful to God and what God's word says, and you will come out more than a conqueror. It may not be today. You may have to get up in the morning, lace your bootstraps, put your boots on, put your shoes on, put your helmet on, grab your faith shield, and go out the door believing God. But my friend, if you will just keep believing God and having the faith in God, that God will bring you and I through this thing. Hallelujah. Praise God. I wish I had about 75 Presbyterians in here tonight to nod at me. If you've never been through nothing, you don't have a clue what I'm talking about. If you're not in the warfare right now, you don't have a clue. Somebody said, preacher, I'm pretty well off. I don't have any issues at all. Hallelujah. But you better watch, because I'm warning you. When you get lazy and I get lazy and the Thomasville Church of God gets lazy, the enemy will come in. Oh, I know what the Bible says. And like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord will raise up a standard against him. I understand that. But how are we going to do this? He says, take the helmet of salvation. Keep your head right. Keep your sound mind. Somebody says spiritual warfare takes place between the 6 inches of your ears. I believe that. Bible says, let this mind be in you that was also in Christ Jesus. Praying always with prayer, supplication in the Spirit, by the Spirit, as the Spirit as a spirit-filled person, it's spirit-filled praying. It's not just always tongues and interpretation. I don't even want to get into that right now. But he says, watching thereunto with all perseverance and supplication for the saints. I'll let you read the rest of that later. Let me find my place. That was our introduction. So how are we going to do this? Well, I believe that we have insight, and I'll skip over some of this because of time, I promise. So let me just hit this really, really fast. So in this, we can see of how that... Let me turn to the scripture. Give me just a second. Two thoughts at one time, they're running together. They're clashing. Now we're getting there. Okay. How are we going to be able to do this? Paul addressed this with the Corinthian church. And in this, there was deception, if you will, according to study in the scripture. And again, I'm not going to take the time to read all of this. I don't have time to do that. But it gives us an insight into the simple fact of how that in 2 Corinthians 11, verse number 3, he says this in the Word again. You can read this. He says, But I fear lest by any means, as the serpent beguiled Eve through the subtlety, so your mind should be corrupted from the simplicity in Christ. Verse 4, for if he that cometh preaching another Jesus, whom we have not preached, or if you receive another spirit, which we have not received, or another gospel, which you have not accepted, he says, ye might well bear with, for I suppose I was not a whit behind the chiefest of apostles. Again, when Paul was writing this, he was writing this as a warning to the church at Corinth about another gospel, an apostate gospel. And then in this, he uses this word here in verse number 3. Again, this is one of those spiritual, this moment, if you will, that talks about how that the enemy would even beguile Eve. Now, I know that when you look at this, one writer said it like this. He says that false teachers trying to lure the daughter, the church, away from complete and pure devotion to the bridegroom. If there's anything that the enemy wants to do today, he wants to lure the church away. He wants to lure the bride away from the church. Now, watch this. I'm not always just set on tradition, and I try not to just get wrapped up in all the traditional stuff and all that, but I'm going to tell you something, friend. This is very important because I still believe that the church is a sanctified church. I believe the church is a set apart church. I still believe that there's something uniquely different about God's bride, the church, and the world. Many times in the scripture, the Bible reminds us to set not our affection on those things which are of the world, but set our affections on those things which are above. He teaches us in John to love not the world, neither the things of the world. He talks about the different categories of the lust of the eye and the pride of life and those things over in 1 John. So in this, we see of how that the enemy here in the scripture in 1 Corinthians again, 2 Corinthians again, beguiled Eve, beguiled. We think about what the serpent did. Again, you don't need to turn there. I'm not going to turn there. But we can see all the way through the scripture in Genesis 2, all the way to Genesis 3, the Bible says that this serpent himself was the most subtle beast of the field. This word subtle, and how you look at this word serpent, in other words, it means that he is crafty. He is shrewd, if you will. And it goes all the way through that whole grouping of scripture again. And it talked about how the enemy of our soul came and beguiled Eve. Again, in our world today, how so many people are being deceived, and deception is all around us. And we think about even how the Word of God got twisted by the enemy. And we see again how that it got Eve's attention. He beguiled her. I'm trying to skip over some stuff. He beguiled her. Again, it's through that beguiling or that trickery, if you will, that Satan tricked Eve into twisting the word of God. You can, and you don't need to turn there. You can write it down, look at it later. In John 8 and 44 through 47, we see a reference to that. And again, I'm trying not to turn there because I'll get stuck. But we can see a reference to that, of how the enemy will beguile us and how the enemy will trick us and how the enemy will twist the word of God. We see it in Genesis. Did God not say? And then we see that how that they fell into the trickery of the devil. What are you saying, preacher? I'm just simply saying this, that you and I today, if there's anything that we've got to do, is that we've got to keep our armor on so that we do not fall prey to the attack of the devil. You say, well, it looks pretty good from the outside looking in. Well, I got another scripture for you on that. I didn't write it down, but I hope I can find it here really, really fast. Because Paul, again, was one of those that reminded us, when you look in this scripture into 2 Corinthians, he comes back and he even talks about the church. He warns them. He warns them. And this is another warning for you and I. If you and I are going to be faithful tonight, he says these words. Again, he talks about false prophets and those that take away from the word of God and those that do not stand in the truth of Christ. Look at verse 14. This again is in 2 Corinthians 11 and 14. He says, and no marvel, for Satan himself is transformed into an angel of light. He will make it look so good that you will say to yourself, this looks so right that it's got to be of God. I think about young people today. I think about sex, drugs, and rock and roll. I think about what our young people are faced with today. I think about how that abortion is rampant today. I think about how drugs is rampant today. I think about how adultery and fornication is on a rampage today, and everything that we see on TV, the stealing. And who would have ever thought that people would just go into a Walmart and get a 75-inch TV and just casually carry it out the front door like there's no consequences at all. I'm going to tell you something, friend. We're living in a day and an hour where men are calling good evil and evil good. But for the church and those that are faithful, if you and I want the benefits of living a godly life, my friend, we've got to shun the very appearance of evil. We've got to cling again to the things that God says. And one of the things that we look at when Satan transforms himself into an angel of light, one of the things that Eve did not do, that Eve did not consider the outcome or the consequences of the decisions that she was getting ready to make. I don't mean to be too blatant this evening or too open this evening in my discussion, but young people today, they can be young girls in primarily thinking about young girls of how they come from a home or an abuse or maybe somebody that's never loved them, and she meets this guy and all of a sudden he shows her a little bit of attention and all of a sudden she feels like she's in love, but he's in lust, my friend, and before long young girls becoming pregnant, he's gone, she's left with a child and faced with an abortion if that's the route she chooses, and all these things are going on in our world today. But my friend, for you and I today, you and I, we've got to fight this good fight of faith. Give me just a minute, if you will, if I can just share the scripture. I'm not going to take the time to read it. I don't have time to. But Matthew 4, verses 1 through 11, it's the scripture there where the enemy of our soul, first of all, if he attacked Jesus, he will attack you and he will attack me. The Bible said that after Jesus was hungered and he is out there in the wilderness, 40 days he was out there. Afterwards, he was hungry. His flesh was no doubt reeking with hunger. And the enemy come and he come and he come. You can read all the way down through verse number 11. But every time the good news is that Jesus, oh man of God, oh man of faith, he remained faithful. He fought the good fight of faith. How did he do it? He done it with with the Word of God. And over, Jesus said, it is written, it is written, it is written. And I say this to try to wrap it up towards the end, that we know when Jesus was there in the garden, how that Judas had came, and how that the Roman soldiers had came, how that all those people had came, and Jesus looked back at them and he said, hey, don't you know that I could call more than 12 legions of angels right now? They are 72,000 angels at my beckon and call, and I can whip you up one side and down the other. You don't even have a clue what I'm getting ready to do to you. But we can see that that whole thing about God, the whole thing about God is simply this. And let me try to somehow bring the next four pages, bring it kind of together for a minute. I don't want to hold you. But the Bible teaches us in our text, fight the good fight of faith. Be faithful. Faithful. You say, well, I need to do something about this. Be faithful. I don't have the answer yet. Be faithful. I've been waiting on God a long time. Be faithful. Your faithful, you being faithful, will lead to His faithfulness. God will be faithful to you. There's a few verses of Scripture in your faithfulness, what you've got to do. I've done this all my days. Again, it is redundant. It is repetitive. But although it may be redundant and although it may be repetitive, I wonder if we really do it. I wonder if we really do some of the things that I'm getting ready to tell you. Three things fast. One is found in James chapter number 4. You know this scripture better than I do. You've studied it longer than me, and you know it more than me. He says in James chapter 4 and verse number 7, when you look at this scripture, be patient therefore, brethren, unto the coming of the Lord. James 4, okay. Well, number 7 of James 5 is good too. Be patient. Thank you, Brenda. Well, let me turn back there. What does it say? The first thing. How are you going to be faithful? It didn't tell you to fight. We like fighting. We want to feel that. Submission requires us to be yielded. This word submit means to give oneself over to another. But I want to fight. I mean, I got my helmet on. I got my shield on. I'm ready. Didn't tell you to do that. He says, stand. You about ready, Janice? Stand. And when you've done all to stand, didn't say fight. He said, stand. Not today, devil. I'm standing. Not today, Satan. Oh, I know at the scripture, Sister Patricia, the Bible said he leaveth Jesus for a season. But I'm still standing. The way up is down. Don't make sense. The Bible says to humble yourself before God. And in due time, he will lift you up. I got to fight this thing. I'm ready to go. Fight the good fight of faith. Fight for your faith. That's what you believe about God. I'll get in that in a minute if I have a time. Submit yourself therefore unto God. What does he do next? Resist means to stand in opposition to. Submit and stand. It didn't say fight, Brother Russell. You're fighting the good fight of faith. Somebody said, I got to fight the devil. No, you got to submit to God. God will fight the devil for you. I'm getting there. I told you to hang on to the end. God will fight the devil for you. I have to fight the devil. Hang on. Resist, and he will flee. How long does it take him to flee? I do not know. But when you stand, you got to keep on standing. Is this Bible tonight? So in this, we see where the Bible says in the Scripture. Third thing, verse 8. Draw nigh, submit, resist, draw nigh. That means get close to God. Get your heart right. Get your heart in rhythm with God. Get your heart in tune with God. As we draw near God, God will draw near us. As we take a step towards God, God will take a step towards us. Cleanse your hands, you sinners. Purify your hearts, you double-minded. Be afflicted, repent, mourn, be remorseful and weep. Let your laughter be turned to mourning and your joy to heaviness. Look in 10, humble yourselves in the sight of God and He will lift you up. In other words, God will become your refuge and your strength. God is a very present help in trouble. Hallelujah to the Lamb of God. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7. If you are with me, say amen. I'm trying to hurry. Casting all your care. Again, looking in 6, he says, there's other scriptures. He says that God resist the proud, giveth grace to the humble. Humble yourself, therefore, under the mighty hand of God, that he may exalt you in due time. Casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Be sober, be vigilant, because your adversary, the devil, as a roaring lion, walketh about. Again, the Bible says, seeking whom he may devour. Look in verse 9. Whom resist steadfast in the faith. Be steadfast in your faith. For a double-minded man is unstable in all of his ways. Come on, church. We need to kick the devil out of our lives. Don't get mad at me tonight. We're so wishy-washy up one day and down the next day. And we've never learned that the victory that you and I are fighting for, if you will, has already been won. I just got to do what God said to do. Some of us may be in this agreement with Satan and the legions below. I tried that one time. I don't know where it got me. I have no idea. Brother Russell, it's like this. Heard somebody say, actually, I believe I heard somebody say this, Brenda. Me and the devil's got an agreement. You leave me alone, and I leave you alone. Sounds reasonable. But it don't work. Bob, Brother Bob Sparks, you know what the scripture says at the end of the book. Satan's defeated. He was already defeated. Genesis 3:15 was the prophecy that led, oh, you're going to come and bruise him a little bit, but he's going to crush your head. Here we are, and don't get mad at the preacher, wallowing around in the mire, just trying to get the victory. Oh, I've been without victory. I've been so low that I can't even tell you tonight. I'd be ashamed to tell you. Somehow or another, God's helped us all, ain't he? Just fight the good fight of faith. Let me close with this. If I can find it. The good sister upstairs. Oh, Jude 1 tells us to contend for the faith. Contend for it. Oh, my goodness. I got to read these scriptures at the end. It ain't going to be tied together. Revelation talks about this. How that the devil, the very devil, Satan himself, in the scripture, we see this in Revelation 20. I was in Revelation 2. It ain't there. Revelation 20. Look at verse number 1. I love this because the devil has a destiny. He may tempt you now. He may come back at you now. But just always remember, he's got a destiny. You got a destiny. Your destiny's heaven. His destiny's hell. Revelation 20 and 1 says, "And I saw the angel come down from heaven, having the key of the bottomless pit, the great chain in his hand. He laid hold on the dragon, the old serpent, which is the devil." The only thing that's in my mind right now and echoing in my heart is this. Again, I'm not much of a theologian. I think I'm pretty good most of the time. This particular scripture is not in the Bible, but I'm going to just use this particular thought. Goody, goody, devil. Goody, goody, devil. But we'll have no tempter then, as this song says. He says here in the word of the Lord, we look at this and he said that old serpent, the devil, Satan, and bound him 1,000 years. Somebody says, "Well, preacher, that's way off." We need to get this in our mind. The victory's already been given to you, and the victory's already been given to me. But thanks be unto God, which giveth us the victory through our Lord Jesus Christ. Stand with me if you're able. Again, when you look in verse number 3, it says, and how that little angel cast him, if you will, into the bottomless pit and shut him up and set a seal upon his head. Set a seal upon him. And he should deceive the nations no more till the 1,000 years, this is a millennial reign, should be fulfilled. And after that, he must be loose for a season. He'll get loose for a season, for a while. Verse 7 reminds us, "And when the 1,000 years are expired, Satan shall be loosed out of his prison, only to be from there in the bottomless pit to the lake of fire." Bottomless pit is where he's going to be first, and then the lake of fire. Look in the scripture there in verse number 10. "And the devil that deceived them was cast into the lake of fire and brimstone, where the beast and the false prophet are, and shall be tormented day and night forever and ever." And then you can read all the rest of this. And here's the thing. The Bible says that whosoever's name is not written in the book of life, you can read it there. He says, will find their place in the lake of fire. Now, I don't gloat in that. I'm just simply telling us today that there's a destiny. Your destiny is not defeat. Your destiny is not the lake of fire. My destiny is not that. I've got to do as Jude said and contend for the faith. I've got to walk with the shield of faith. I've got to talk about all the faith that we talked about throughout the scripture. And then the Bible says there, he says, if we look at this, fight the good fight of faith. You say, "I have no faith." That's contrary to the scripture. You do have faith. What are you going to do with your faith? Because the Bible says every man's been given the measure of faith. Jesus used many examples throughout the New Testament. "According to thy faith, be it unto you." You have to believe it before you can see it. If we as the church, Pastor Green too, about stepped off of that step is what I about did. If I can just see this, Brother Steve, and start walking in it, I may not see the manifestation yet, Barbara, but I've got to walk in it. Because when I walk it out, I do my part. God is faithful. God is just. God cannot lie. And whatever God said in His Word will come to fruition. Well, I wanted it yesterday. Well, you got to have a little patience sometimes because God has a perfect timing. There's probably people in this room, if I ask you, is there promises over your life right now? And you know that God spoke it to you, but you've not seen it yet. You just be faithful to God. And as you're faithful to God, at some point in our life, we will see the faithfulness of God. But I dare say that everybody in this room, if we look back over our life, He's been faithful over and over and over. Carol Cimbalo, however you pronounce her name at New York, has a song, He's Been Faithful. I'll try to put it on my page later today. He's been faithful. Be faithful to God. You say, I'm struggling, preacher. Be faithful to God. Faithful in your struggle. Be faithful to God. Father, I love you. Praise and thank you. Thank you for your word, for thy word is truth. Father, you've spoke to my heart through this word tonight, God. Father, we've got to just fight the good fight of faith. We got to keep believing you, God, this good fight of faith. Even when we don't see the results of it, I've got to walk by faith. Father, around this room, there are those, God, that may be weak in their faith. They may be struggling in their faith. God, I pray that even right now, God, as the different ones throughout the Scripture said, Lord, increase our faith. And Lord, I pray that tonight, that God, that you would increase my faith. God, help me to put my hand on the Word of God. Let me take the Word of God and not twist or make it say something that it's not supposed to say. But let me put my hand on God's Word and let me believe God's Word, walk in God's Word, and let me see the results of being faithful to God in my life. And every day, Lord, we're faithful to you. In Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Folks, I gave you all that God gave me for this message. If it ain't helped nobody else, it was for me. Because if it don't happen up here in the pulpit, it ain't going to happen in the pew. And there's times in my life, I'll be honest with you, I've not been able to walk in the strength of the faith of God that I know I've needed to. But you know what? Through study and through time, I know that we're more than conquerors. Amen. God bless you. Remember all the announcements. I don't have them in front of me tonight. And we'll see everybody on Sunday. There's a few flyers back there on the desk and that table going out the door. If you have someone that you might be able to take a flyer to and invite them to church for Sunday, invite them to church. One of the things that's coming up right around the corner is we're going to try to talk about evangelism and outreach and trying to get outside the doors of the church. And we're just looking for some tools to be able to do that. And that's one of the things we're going to do is provide you with some flyers throughout the week that you can hand out to people and invite them to church. God bless you. Shake hands with somebody. And we'll see you a little bit later on. God bless you.